We're going to turn now to an anniversary that is going to be marked this week by many. 10 years ago this week, Matthew Shepard, a gay student at the University of Wyoming, was brutally murdered. Shepard's death struck a chord with people across the country and, many say, revitalized the gay rights movement. But a decade later, there are certainly some questions as to how far the nation has come. We are joined now by John Baird, editor of The Advocate magazine, who is actually in our studio here in New York. So welcome, John.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with, what do you think the legacy of Matthew Shepard's murder is today?
Well, we're still working on that legacy, you know, with the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Act, which is in Congress, and hopefully come January, that will be his legacy. His legacy so far has been the fight for hate crimes legislation.
It was such a shocking crime because of two men beat Matthew Shepard, yep, tied him to a post, and left him to die.
Yes.
He was found, taken to the hospital, was in a coma. And let's just listen to a piece of tape that came right after he died.
His family was in the hospital. We called them to come to his side, which they did. And at 12:53 a.m., he passed away. His family was with him when it happened, and he unfortunately never regained consciousness during the time that he was in our hospital.
That's Rulon Stacy, who was a spokesman at the time for the Poudre Valley Medical Center where Matthew Shepard died. It was a very shocking crime that many people responded to immediately. What was the impact on the community in Laramie, and what do you think the broader impact was in the nation as a whole?
Well, I wasn't in Laramie, so I can't speak to that. I know it was shocking for Laramie. They didn't imagine anything like that could happen there from everything I've read. Nationwide, I was in Los Angeles at the time, and Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood was filled with people, uh-huh, with candles, just like dozens of places. You know, here in New York City, I think they shut down Fifth Avenue.
Here was a kid who randomly emerges onto the scene, certainly not randomly picked by the people who murdered him. Mm-hmm. And yet it really represents an amazing moment in the gay rights movement, which in many ways, if you start with Stonewall and move through the AIDS crisis, this was something that, you know, was associated with a political niche. Matthew Shepard, it seems to me, globalized the gay rights movement and made it an issue of rights for, mm-hmm, everyone. If he dies, I'm vulnerable.
Yeah, and it also put a face for people who didn't know gay people. There were, you know, people around the world who didn't know gay people, didn't know gay people faced this kind of discrimination. Suddenly there was a person who could have been their son, their brother, their nephew, and it really spoke to them as well.
So when you talk about what has happened since, so it wasn't enough, this attention and this compassion and sympathy and empathy that many felt for not only Matthew Shepard but also his family, didn't end up triggering greater laws for protection or greater punishments for those who target gay or lesbian people?
I think it has. It hasn't done it on a federal level yet, and there's still, I believe, 11 states who haven't extended those protections to people based on sexual orientation. But I'm sure it's changed people's minds, it's changed the way they feel, and it's gotten us closer than we've ever been.
Right.
How do you measure that?
I think with those states, I mean, mm-hmm, you mean the intangible? I think that's
exactly
harder. It's harder, yeah. You know. I mean, you measure it by people knowing Matthew Shepard, and you measure it by people being able to talk about this issue on the radio today.
But I guess the question really is, you know, if Matthew Shepard had been killed 20 years ago, would it have been a story in the way that it was? In other words, did it happen at a moment of maturity in the gay rights movement and, mm-hmm, in America's maturity as understanding what freedom actually means, that it kind of perfectly encapsulated what the movement needed to say at that moment?
Yeah, I think it was a perfect storm, mm-hmm, I mean, for a lack of a better term. But definitely there was something happening in the news, right, or something not happening in the news right then. And, you know, it was a couple of years after Ellen came out and people had been talking, right, about gay issues, and suddenly it wasn't just about a lesbian on TV. It was about this kid getting killed and tied to a fence.
And there were a number of people who were in the mainstream media who were able to pick up the story and, mm-hmm, and really move it along. It wasn't like, I remember the movie Philadelphia, which really popularized the AIDS issue for people who went, yeah, to the movies. It stopped being a fringe issue at that point.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think will be the tipping point on the legislation?
Well, I do think that I think that having a president who will support it will be a tipping point. President Bush promised to veto the bill. The bill never made it to his desk, but he promised to veto it, and that didn't really provide much motivation for people to get it through.
It's kind of a disincentive. Exactly. Kind of a turn off.
Yeah. Exactly.
How would you describe the discussions among advocates in terms of what the next goal is? I mean, barring, at the national level, having a president who's saying he will veto it, but just is there a real overall strategy, as you were saying, that there are more states now who have those laws on the books? Does that discussion and action continue?
I think people are focused on the federal level right now. I think they're focused on getting 60 votes in the Senate. That will make a difference. They're focused on getting somebody in the White House right now. That will make a difference. I know that I was just speaking with his mother, Judy, yesterday, and that's her focus right now.
How is his family doing?
They're doing great. They're doing great. They have the Matthew Shepard Foundation, which is focused on getting this legislation through. It's also focused on bringing education about gay rights and not even gay rights, but sexual orientation to kids in elementary school. You know, she's got books. I think it's called Small Bear, Big Dreams, I think it's what it's called.
And how controversial is that? I mean, going into schools with those kinds of issues.
I think it probably is controversial, depending on the place. You know, I don't think that she goes into places that don't want her, though.
Right. So, but she is getting invitations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's speaking. She speaks for the foundation, probably hundreds of days a year.
Oh, that's good. There's a legacy right there.
And there's the legacy. And, also the Laramie Project has, I hadn't thought of that, but the Laramie Project is kind of like, when I was in high school, everybody did Oklahoma or something, and now they're doing the Laramie Project. Hmm.
And tell us what that is.
Moises Kaufman from here in New York City he brought his theater group to Laramie soon after Matthew died and interviewed people and did this amazing play based on everything that they told him when he was in Laramie.
And people do that play around the country and have this experience where they actually play the roles and feel what it's like to be in Laramie.
Exactly. It's a very powerful play.
And have you seen it outside of Laramie?
I did. I saw it in New York at Town Hall. It was going to be, I believe, Matthew's 30th birthday, and they did a benefit there.
Well, so that would have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
John Barrett, thanks for coming into our studio.
Thank you for having me.
John Barrett is the editor of The Advocate magazine, and we were talking about the anniversary of the murder of Matthew Shepard.
10 years, hard to believe.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.